Blog Talk Radio.
Everybody, and welcome to Fantasy Hockey X on Friday night. I'm your host, Chris Wessel, previewing the Saturday main slate. And yes, we'll even dig a little deeper into the growing slate that is going to be Saturday afternoon. Now, if we joked and said all the good games were on, never mind. By the way, for those that are wondering, the 6 o'clock game between the Carolina Hurricanes and Minnesota Wild is sadly not on any DFS radar at all, unless you happen to be playing one of the all-day contests, basically. Or the showdown on DraftKings. Go figure. I mean, that has to seriously tick some people off, and rightfully so. Either way, we'll have some fun with this. We'll go through this. We'll play some music. To me, it should be a little bit different, but what are you going to do? Yeah, it's 14 games in all, broken down into basically a split. What is a split? 4 and 10, or actually 4 and 9. which again is just going to irritate a ton of people. Like I said, there's a lot of crazy to be expected here. And rightfully so. Like we said, going through the schedule and how it stands. I mean, all joking aside, this is chock full of lots of potential on Saturday night. You've got pretty much a little bit of everything. You have a late hammer as well. I mean, you actually have a couple possible late hammers mixed in. That itself should be enough to get things going. If not, well, oof. I don't know what to tell people at that point, but we'll see. All right. What we do is always, before the VOTS joins us, we kind of give a brief rundown of the games, and then we let VOTS just clean up and break it all down for us. Kind of the idea. It's an odd sort of setup when you look overall on Saturday slate. First off, again, you have, and this is something else, something you don't often see. This is going to blow a lot of people's minds. Like we said, when we mentioned it jokingly at the beginning, an over-under of 7 is just something. Okay, that's one thing. I mean, there's some crazy implied goal totals that we have projected as well. The problem, interestingly enough, is depending on your projections, and we'll get into this a little bit later. Toronto and Washington, the range is wild. It's literally anywhere from 6 to 8 goals. Projections are all over the place. There's ones on the low end. There's ones on the high end. It should be a crazy one, no doubt. But I mean, this slate has literally a little of everything. Has high probabilities, has high implied goal totals, has you name it, it's all there. Now, as I've said before, at least with this, this slate is more than Toronto versus Washington, which is something that everybody is keying on, because anytime you see an eye-popping number like 7 for an over-under, it catches people's eyes. And yes, jokingly, 6 is the new 5.5. When it comes to betting, as far as over unders, that's just the reality. That I don't know. It's a tough call. I mean, look, to be perfectly honest, Pittsburgh has a higher implied goal total than Washington on Saturday. Nashville and Colorado all have implied goal totals more than Washington. Doesn't mean it'll happen. Just means it's a possibility. That's where it gets interesting. Because you really never know. Again, it's early in the season. Some teams have only played a couple games. Some teams have played like five. I mean, for example, Vegas, not on the main slate, but on the afternoon slate tomorrow, going into Philadelphia. Literally just cannot score. They've done everything but score. Amazingly. They're 1-4. Contrast that with Toronto, who's 4-1 and can't defend. But, oh, by the way, Toronto has like a power play that is clicking at 50% right now. And it's just absolutely insane. Yikes. And that's kind of how this slate is. I mean, Carolina, Minnesota, maybe it's kind of poetic that they're not on either slate, but only on the showdown on DraftKings. Because let's put it this way. Carolina's 1-10 on the power play. Minnesota's 0 for the season. Yeah, it's really that bad. Tampa Bay is another one. No goals in 2 games on the power play. That is pretty crazy. And Tampa's only scored 2 goals in 2 games. One was a win, one was a loss. Pittsburgh, amusingly, played 3 games at home to open the season. And maybe the team actually that's going may go on a little bit under the radar just because of the Toronto game alone. They're playing a Montreal team that just gives, that can give up goals in bunches. Don't look at the numbers this year. Look at the numbers last year, to be perfectly honest. Montreal is pretty frightening. They don't scare anybody. They shoot a ton, though, as evidenced by the 3-0 shutout loss at home to LA the other night, where literally, I mean, yeah, the joke is if you want to play a goaltender, play the goaltender that's up against Montreal. It's just, it's one of those plans. It may just work. So, it is at least something to consider. Now, besides that, you know, Vancouver and Florida. What's strange and goofy about, say, Vancouver? Vancouver suddenly fun. They can't defend worth anything, but they're fun to watch. Heck, they've scored 16 goals in 4 games. They've given up 15. Florida probably scores some goals against them. Figure Florida at home lost 5-4 to Columbus, so you're expecting some goals to be scored. It should at least not be dull, let's put it that way. Much like New York and Nashville. New York and Nashville may be a bit of a surprise. That may be an interesting time to take the Barzal line, at least to consider it. Just because Nashville's either kind of all or nothing. You know, they looked great in one home game and then could not score against Calgary. Go figure. By the way, Nashville also does not have a single power play goal to start the season. And they played 4 games. And if they have one weakness right now, at least in the early going, it is their penalty kill again, which kind of started off a little bit slow last year. And then bounced back in a big way. So, you know, at least we'll get into some expected goaltenders in a little bit as well, but I just kind of have to wait that one out a little bit. You know, there's St. Louis and Chicago, which in of itself could be a crazy game just because Chicago can't kill a penalty to save their lives. They can't score a power play goal either. Tends to be a really bad combination, but at even strength, they're scoring goals like crazy. Somehow, in some way, despite everything, Chicago is 2-0-2 on the season, despite allowing 18 goals. They're also scored 18. And, you know, Minnesota, you know, the joke was from the Minnesota game was literally they were done, and then magically they came back. It's just kind of how, it's just a bizarre sort of type of craziness. It's the best way it can be described. I mean, Chicago's only home game so far this season was against Toronto. We all know how that turned out. So, should be different, say at least. All right. Buffalo and Arizona could be a little bit all over the place, too. It may be a good spot to start Antti Ranta just simply because, look, Buffalo's still bad on the road. Okay? You'd have to think. They scored 8 goals in 4 games at home, went 2-2. Again, their penalty kill, still not very good. If Arizona's going to get going at least a little bit on the power play, then it may, tomorrow night may be just the night to do it. And keep an eye on to see what Arizona's lines are, because as we all know, beat writers, Arizona, a little bit dicey. Just a little bit. So, again, we'll see what happens. Calgary, Colorado. I don't know. Could be. The one thing Colorado has kind of done is they've taken quite a few penalties this year. As good as they've been for the most part in the early going, aside from the game that did not go so well with Grubauer going up against a certain team named Columbus. You know, Calgary could score a few goals against them. They're at least capable. And you got to think their power play is good enough to at least maybe pop one on Colorado. But also Colorado's is much the same. They could easily pop one or two goals on the man advantage against Calgary. Therein lies problem. Remember, again, this is a 9-game slate, and there's a lot of choices. Where do you go? And that's the question. And it's something that, you know, to be honest, every person that enters more than, say, 5 to 10 lineups is going to at least have one game stack of Toronto and Washington. They just are. And if you think they aren't, then, well, you're sadly mistaken. It's going to be owned at a solid rate, and some places higher than others. To throw an actual honestly, to throw an actual number is a bit rough. Don't have an answer on that, to be honest. And looking around, looking at numbers, it's tough. It really is. But I'll be honest. It's intriguing. It really is. And draws in this game are pretty significant. Spreads are too. I mean, look, Pittsburgh's gonna have significant line movement tomorrow, at least it should. Even without Matt Murray in that. Because most are just going to expect Pittsburgh to flat out outscore Montreal. It doesn't matter. The tough game to call is going to be Anaheim and Dallas. I think people are going to be surprised by that game. I don't know what Anaheim's going to wind up doing with the lines. They've been tinkering with them. To be perfectly honest, you may see a couple more changes between even, early morning and warm-ups on Saturday. So do keep that in mind. It's going to be some real head scratchers in there. And of course, Ryan Kessler is going to be in the top six again. At some point, if not tomorrow, then very soon. It's just almost inevitable at this point. It really is. Now, I guess the question that you then have to ask is, okay, where in the heck do I go with some of these picks? And here's the thing. We don't know. I mean, right now, as it stands. So we'll look at this real quick, and we'll look at this from at least a little bit of a different slant. All right. I couldn't believe the numbers when I first saw them. Like we said. That 7 went like just, and it could go back to 6.5. It is close. It's teetering at times. But it's not the only eye popping number out there. It just isn't. But the Pittsburgh line is actually slid back before bumping up a tiny bit. At one point it was -128. It's now -140. Tampa's -185 right now. Again, a little bit rough. Florida's minus 200. That's pretty much, it's about on target. It really is. The only 5.5 over under so far, actually, is that's listed is Buffalo and Arizona. That's the only one. And that's a 5.5 under, by the way. It's not even a 5.5 over. It's a 5.5 under. There's just not a lot of people very bullish on that game. And often those games are the ones that are the goofiest in reality. Okay. May not happen. Maybe a 2-1 or 3-2 snooze fest. Anything's possible. Right now, as of this moment, there's three games that the line is not set. It may be set by the morning, so you want to keep an eye on it. Anaheim, Dallas, St. Louis, Chicago, and Calgary, Colorado. Anaheim, Dallas, I wouldn't be surprised if there was an over-under of 5.5. Just based on the way John Gibson has played and the way Ben Bishop, for the most part, has played in the early going. I don't think there's going to be many people too high scoring-wise on that game. St. Louis and Chicago is more of a question mark. I would not be surprised to see 6.5 over or under. It won't be 7. 7's just too damn high. That's reserved for the actual teams that have a power play, which neither one of these teams really do right now to a point. St. Louis, aside from one game, and Chicago, well, yeah. So, what else have we got here, as they say? Okay. Looking down and looking at this. So again, like I said, you have nine games. All right. Now, originally, the slate, to be fair, had 10, but remember, and it's something that fouled everybody up. Detroit and Boston got moved to 3 o'clock. Yeah, mysteries abound there. But something postseason, maybe. Baseball, perhaps, might have been the reason. All right. The next question is, all right, where do we go on this Saturday? And that is something that we are going to answer at least right after we play a little musical interlude here. You're listening to Fantasy Hockey X here on Hard Hits. Blog Talk Radio.
Let the bodies hit the floor. Let the bodies hit the floor. Let the bodies hit the floor. Let the bodies hit the...
Okay. And we are back here on a Saturday night. We're going to run through this fast. If Senior Vots joins us, you'll have Senior Vots join us. If not, well, we're just going to roll with this and go. That's the plan. Okay. Keep in mind, one thing that we always do emphasize here. When we do the show the night before, usually a lot of goalies are not confirmed. Also, keep in mind the simple matter of fact, obvious here, that, well, there were no games tonight. So, yeah, that makes it a little crazy. Matter of fact, just from perspective, in the 9 games tomorrow night, there is a grand total of 1 confirmed goalie. And that is none other than Cam Ward, who, by the way, laughably, has started all 4 games for Chicago and sports a 4.41 goals against and 867 save percentage. Jake Allen, just as bad, 1-1-1, all 3 games started for the Blues. Has a even worse 854 save percentage to go with this 4.28 goals against. Ouch. Again, this is pain. This could be painful. So we'll see how that goes. I mean, for example, Frederick Anderson against Holtby, you know what you're going to get. Jacob Markstrom faces his former team tomorrow night as well. By the way. Again, that's another matchup of, it's not so good. Reimer's not been very good in his 2 starts, and Markstrom had 1 good start and 2 real bad ones, basically. Andre Vasilevskiy, here's a good example. Andre Vasilevskiy is great in both starts. Absolutely no support in either. 2 goals, that's it. Ouch. Casey DeSmith is going to be a valuable play tomorrow, no matter what. People are going to be all over him. They just are going to be. When you look at this, and you toss in the numbers. Here we go. This is how we're going to do it for tomorrow. So take a look. And this is how we broke things down. Now, the Smith, for example, all right, the Smith is 7,700, by the way. He's the expected starter, or at least the projected starter for Pittsburgh. That's not too bad. Comically, by the way, James Reimer 7,800 tomorrow against Vancouver because of the risk of low shot volume. Cam Ward is 7,400, and probably for good reason. He, like I said, he's the only confirmed starter. Now, we'll see what happens. there is some talk that perhaps Unis Corpus Allo starts for Columbus tomorrow. Yeah. See what happens there. All right. Let's see how long the old voice holds up for this. Here's what you need to know. And we'll do it kinda in the order. Oh, excuse me. Pittsburgh versus Montreal is the first game, at least on FanDuel's site. We'll kind of try to roll along with it. Remember, keep in mind, like we said before, we said it on Monday night. Now, excuse me. Wow. A lot of advanced stats are really based on small sample sizes right now, so it is kind of difficult to go on. At least relying on that solely. So sometimes when the number crunching and optimizers as far as sites do their thing. Oof, wow. Bit up some very strange numbers. So do expect that at least. You know, could be rough. I mean, for example, there's a lot of debate going on as to who you should play, not play, this and that, whatever. Pittsburgh, Montreal, Malkin, yep. Malkin's an absolute at this point. And then it's just kind of piecing around and trying to figure out, well, is it going to be line one or line two? What's Montreal going to key on? And it looks like Montreal will key on the Crosby line, which should leave Malkin and Kessel. That's expensive. But you can at least kind of pivot around, and you don't want to spend up for Chris Letang or one of the, you know, more expensive wingers. You can always go back to Justin Schultz, who is cheaper. At least he's viable. Again, like we said, Casey Smith is pretty cheap at $7,700. And he's just as cheap on DraftKings, pretty much. Now, for Montreal, it's rough. I could see playing Paul Byron as dart. Shot selection, he's very picky, but he does seem to be at least doing something, which is more than you could say about most of the other Leafs. It's just rough. I mean, the Habs really, Montreal really, they generate a lot of shots. They're the only concern that you kind of have in this game, at least. How does, does Pittsburgh come out fire and brimstone like people are expecting? Or they basically do more of the same what they have in the first three games of the season? Honestly, if this game was played on Friday, I would have said more fire and brimstone. Tomorrow night, I'm not quite so sure what to expect. That's, you know, kind of the matter of fact of what's going on here. Now, would I play Carey Price tomorrow? I can't do it. I can't. I don't know. I'd love to say, hey, you know, we got an answer for this. It's pretty clear, but it's not. Now, like I said, Pittsburgh's more of a play. The numbers seem to indicate it. Projections seem to indicate it. Pundits seem to indicate it. What? You know, it's just nuts. Now, it's pretty crazy to think about this, but that's where we're at least from the standpoint of Pittsburgh and Montreal. Also, by the way, you know, Montreal did lay a pretty giant size whooping in Pittsburgh. Remember, that was the game with the shorthanded goals. Pittsburgh literally couldn't get out of its own way. Pittsburgh's not going to be happy. They tend to remember this sort of thing and remember it well. So it would not be surprising if Pittsburgh 2 is just the play, and it's going to be one that's not going to be as high owned, literally because of a certain game that we'll be getting to just a sec. Again, like I said, and there's Vancouver and Florida. You know, Vancouver, Elias Pettersson, that Vancouver second line is very interesting to watch. The Horvat line should match up against the Barkov line. You know, yada, yada, yada. A little bit more enamored with the Florida second line, to be perfectly honest. I do think they could get something a little going against the lesser Vancouver lines, even against Vancouver's second line if necessary. Just because the one thing the young kid line for Vancouver does not have is the ability to play much defense. They're a lot of fun to watch, but there's a lot of chances to be had for sure. Goaltending wise, it's tough. Because you're basically flipping a coin knowing that you're going to get somewhere in the neighborhood of 70 shots combined between these two teams. But that's the potential. Doesn't mean it'll happen. But Florida definitely has 35-plus shot potential. If Jacob Markstrom somehow gets it together, he is a high-risk GPP play for Saturday night. And I do mean high-risk. Well, pretty much very high-risk at this juncture. So, yeah, there's something you want to go with, take a shot at. He's going to be low owned. I don't expect him to be like more than 5% owned. I would be very shocked. Maybe less than 3% even. All right. We've kind of touched enough upon that. Rolling. Columbus and Tampa Bay, again, Panarin line that. Reason why Cam Atkinson is $7,100 on FanDuel is because of none other than, yes, Panarin, the bread man. He's even pushed Pierre-Luc Dubois' price above price point above 6,000. I mean, this is kind of where we are. I mean, how about this for perspective? This is crazy, but it's true. Right now, I know through two games, Tampa Bay's highest valued center is Anthony Cirelli, as far as points per dollar. And points per FanDuel points per game. By the way, he's 3,500 on FanDuel. Just saying. That does speak volumes. Now again, there's a lot of hockey to go. Tampa's in a good position. Columbus has given up some goals in the early going. And do watch for Tampa's lines tomorrow morning. Just to make sure. The prevailing thought is that there's going to be some changes again. There were some in practice. Palat was on the top line. So, you know, again, expect maybe one or two more changes. You have to look at Tampa Bay's power play. That you have to think they're going to get it going sooner rather than later. So that's one area to look. Columbus, again, top line. Top line's been pretty good. Boone Jenner hasn't been half bad either, to be perfectly honest. And obviously, Zach Werenski's been great in the early going. Yeah, those are areas to look. Werenski, actually, for what it's worth, his value is pushed up above $5,000 on DK and FanDuel as well. So that's kind of it's weird too. We won't have any look at because look, Victor Hedman hasn't done much so far for Tampa through two games. I mean, Ryan McDonough has been more valued from a fantasy standpoint than Victor Hedman. I think that's kind of all you need to know about things, a small sample size and such. You know, Marcus Nutavar is another one. He's kind of a steady sort of influence where, you know, gets decent points. He's not going to blow you away, but his price point is under 4,000. He's basically a good value. If you're looking for values to kind of stack around one-offs, he might be one. Obviously, Werenski at 5,200 is still a good deal. It's kind of where you have to look at it on for Saturday night. All right. Let's get into this. Let's get into the big one. Oh, boy. This is going to be something else. I don't know what to expect with this game. Watch it completely dud. And that wouldn't shock me either. I mean, the problem is... And I remember this, you know, 3-1 for 40 minutes the other night between Toronto and Detroit. And you thought, oh, okay, whatever. Ended up 5-3. So there could be vast periods of this game where there's not much going on. And then all of a sudden, there's just explosions of chances and goals. There's a lot of value to be had, obviously. Morgan Riley literally has bumped his value from the mid 4,000s on FanDuel up to 5,700. Tavares and Matthews are over 8,000 again. The nice thing, actually, as crazy as this sounds, is you can spend a tiny bit cheaper. and get like a Nazem Kadri for 4K on DraftKings. He's 5,400 on FanDuel, unfortunately, but he's 4K on DraftKings. Yeah. You know, Kuznetsov and Backstrom are about $1,000 to $1,500 less than Tavares or Matthews on FanDuel. That's something to consider as well. Like I said, if you're going to game stack this or try to, you will have to find value and try to piece it in. Again, considering the Brett Connollys of the world, the Jacob Ferrana type of deal. I mean, look, Connolly's 3,700. Kaspin in his fifth, 3,800. Right there, they're going to be two. I mean, Kapanen in particular is going to be moderately owned just because of his price point is still under 4,000. Across the board. At this point in juncture, why the heck wouldn't you play him? Just saying. So other than the power, other than using the power play one stacks as options, there's ways to get around and look at it. Goaltending wise, no. There's no way I'm touching it this game. It's just too expensive. You definitely expect Anderson to start against Holpe, and those numbers. I mean, look, Holpe's 9,100 on FanDuel. No, just can't. That's too steep. It really is. So, not a wise move. All right. Next game, Anaheim and Dallas. Talk about rough. Not having Getzlaf or Perry is not necessarily a bad thing for Anaheim. I mean, John Gibson's been incredible. Gibson, by the way, his goal saved above average is almost double what anyone else's is. Through four games. That's something else. By the way, Ben Bishop has not been bad either. But he is $9,000. That's a lot. That is a lot. And you're going to go up against a team that may not generate a lot of shots. I mean, if you're going to be a riverboat gambler, you might go Gibson. His price is high though. At 8,600, to be honest, there is potential for better value out there, and at some point he is going to get shellacked. And the going thought is always tend to be against Dallas or Colorado, so it's a definite possibility. Yeah, you can do a few things at least stacking wise with Anaheim or Dallas. You know, John Klingberg's gone up a lot in price, to be perfectly honest. So at that point, it's just a question of, you know, what can you piece together? Take a look at Anaheim's lines. Anaheim is another team that has kind of shuffled the deck. So Troy Terry is not on the first line anymore. He may not even play tomorrow, by the way. So I would watch that. Like I said, Ryan Kessler was on the second line this afternoon. So do keep that in mind when you look at Anaheim's line. Check to make sure that the lines that were seen on Friday afternoon match to the ones that are coming up for warm-ups or close to warm-ups on Saturday or even morning skate. Hopefully it does.
again, goalies are moderate risk because of their price point, not because of their ability in this game. It's going to be definitely a rough and tumble affair with this one. All right. Islanders and Nashville. Another could be high scoring game. Nashville, if you recall, did win it on Long Island or Brooklyn 4-3. Just last week. The one takeaway from that game was basically the top lines for both teams were very good. And defensively, they were at times very bad. This could happen again. I do want people to keep an eye on the Islanders' bottom six in particular. Casey Cacicus may not be able to go. Cacicus may not be able to go. So that would be a help for Nashville and a considerable one. Islanders would have less options to play, matching up with Nashville's top six. So that could be a rough one. So it looks like Robin Lehner is the projected starter for the Islanders and Pekka Rinne for Nashville. Lehner is nicely priced at $7,700. Problem is, do you play him? The Islanders are going to allow a lot of shots. That's going to be rough. Like I said, there's plenty of defensive options. Again, Ryan Pulock is still only $4,100. He's reasonably low. Nick Leddy is... Nick Leddy's wolf at this point. There's decent numbers across the board, but would I pay? It's risky. Guys like Forsberg and Arvidsson are pretty good. Anders Lee is at the... Lee... Bailey's still a decent option. But I like the idea of these two lines going up against each other and producing double-digit FanDuel points. That's where I'm at least looking. Matthew Barzal is creeping up in price, but he's still about $6,600. Again. We'll see how it goes on Saturday night. Should be a lot of fun for Nashville. I would even consider a power play stack from Nashville. Nobody's expecting it. It might just work. At some point that power play's got to strike. Just does. It's too good not to. All right. Whizzing by St. Louis and Chicago. If you pick either goalie, probably should have your head examined. And again, I do kind of like St. Louis's power play. I do wish, God, Tarasenko would get it going. He's played better. But the scary part is, despite the fact that he has two goals. All right, we had talked about this early in the season, even. But last Saturday, Tarasenko scored two goals on seven shots against Chicago. It could happen again. I wouldn't be shocked. He has 20 shots on goal through three games. So he is piling up the shots. There's just no question about that. It honestly makes him viable. It really does. It makes him worth at least trying somewhere.
You know, Ryan O'Reilly is still under 6,000. Jonathan Toews is an option in this game. Toews' value has jumped up to $7,000, though, at least on FanDuel. So it is something that you may have to watch and consider, to be perfectly honest. But for me, O'Reilly's a little bit cheaper of a value. Alex DeBrincat is another player. You know, look, DeBrincat scored the other night. I would actually take him over Patrick Kane and saved a couple grand at this point. I know that sounds crazy. But, you know, like a DeBrincat Cahoon type of deal would be interesting. Both guys love to shoot, particularly DeBrincat. Defense-wise, from this game, there's a lot to look at. You know, Henrik Jokiharju is still 3,900 on FanDuel. And is rather playable. I mean, look, would I want to spend all the way up to Duncan Keith's level? Probably not. I'd look to get a little cheaper here. Even Vince Dunn is 4,000, surprisingly enough. And Colton Parayko's 46, so it's not too bad. All right. Buffalo and Arizona. Oof. Here's something crazy. This is where sometimes things just slip through the cracks. Antti Ranta is only 7,700. If Buffalo can generate any shot volume whatsoever, he's worth the play. And Carter Hutton is simply just at this point, because if for GPPs, you're expecting Arizona to fire shots. Buffalo really does get startled easily and will give up shots and punches. So it is something to consider. Defense-wise, they're not expensively priced. Other than, you know, Ristolainen, and even Ristolainen's only 5,300. That's not terrible. You know, there's options to look at. You stack it around, pick around your defense, and go. That's kind of the fun part here. I mean, it's crazy rough to look at some of this with a straight face, because you realize that Arizona hasn't done much offensively, and neither has Buffalo. But there's numbers there. It's center heavy, though, based on production. I mean, obviously, Eichel's been very, you know, very good at times. And at times, he's been a little bit invisible. But he is the headline center here, basically thanks to the Galchenyuk injury. Derek Stefan could be a decent enough play. He has 6,200, though. All right. Dylan Strome's another value play. Semi-value, he's right around 4,000. It'll be interesting to see if he can follow up what he did the other night. Again, looking at this from a power gambling from a power play standpoint would be an interesting play, at least as far as later hammers for Arizona and Buffalo alike. Again, see what happens as far as line combinations first to make sure. Hopefully, we get something on Arizona before lock. I know it's difficult sometimes with it, but hopefully we get something that we can at least use.
All right, last game of the night, probably Layhammer. You know, real good, decent Layhammer possibilities. Calgary at Colorado. Calgary can't stop anybody. McKinnon's still scoring points at home and on the road now. Wasn't enough that, you know, he's doing this, that. He has 5 goals in 4 games on 23 shots. And basically, he's just rolling the points. He has not, actually, he hasn't gone below 20 FanDuel points in any game this season. Which is basically like five points on DraftKings. That's rather good. So, I mean, that's forced his value up. He's now 8,600. All right, for perspective, McKinnon is higher priced than Tavares and Matthews on tomorrow night's slate, by the way. And he's earned it. So, when you look at that, you look at Sean Monahan, who's a little bit less, and producing almost as much. It's kind of weird. You know, you look at Johnny Gaudreau. Gaudreau has an excellent average, but then climbed down $1,500, and Matthew Tkachuk is nearly right on his level. You know, go down another little bit, and there's Elias Lindholm, who's producing at a good rate. And then there's Alex Kerfoot, who benefited a little bit from getting some top-line time and had a solid game against Buffalo as a result. Kerfoot's actually a nice little mid-value. To be perfectly honest. Kerfoot, by the way, has 5 points in 4 games. Doesn't shoot the puck a ton, but shooting a little bit more in the early going of the season, averaging 2.5 shots per game. So it might be something to keep an eye on, again, the Tyson Yost of the world, and that sort of thing. You know, Colin Wilson's. You know, Colin Wilson, by the way, is still 3,600. Try looking at values like that from this game. Easier said than done, understandably, but you know, don't just look at McKinnon and go automatic play. A lot of people will, but you know, it's like I can sit there and play Eric Johnson at 5,000, which isn't half bad. But I could also sit there and climb down and play Sam Girard even at a little less. It's that kind of night where I can kind of mix match and play. Goalie wise, Barlamov is 7,900, which is not bad. See who plays. I mean, if Grubauer plays, he's a cheap 7,400. He's worth a shot. So, at least then it's something. And that's pretty much your 9-game slate. You know, to recap it, and I'll say this with the utmost of confidence, the highest ownership should be Toronto, Washington. And based kind of on where the money's going, it's going to be Toronto, Washington. And rightfully so. It has the greatest possibility for game stack. Although I still like Pittsburgh, Montreal as an under the radar type of one. That should be interesting. And obviously, St. Louis, Chicago is another one that's under the radar for game stacking possibilities. After that, Vancouver, Florida, Columbus, Tampa Bay,
those are two matchups that I have under my under the radar that could really, really slip by. Nashville and the you know, Predators Islanders again. But the problem with Predators Islanders is trying to guess which lines are going to go off, and that's a difficult proposition, to say the least. So it's one of those things where you sit there and go, well, we hope that helps a little bit. You know, get the you know, brain flow going, as they say. We'll have a little bit more on the plays tomorrow on Awesomeo, as we always do. Do apologize for the slight technical difficulties that befell Mr. Watts. And you can download this podcast via the Hard Hits Radio Network on iTunes and listen on in. Again, thank you everybody that is kind enough to join in and listen. And we will see you tomorrow with our plays, and as always in the Slack chat room and on Twitter, and much, much more. So we're Chris Wassel. We are signing off with a little more Brass Bonanza. Have a great night, everybody.